We are holding on Gimel Amud Aleph, eight lines from the bottom. The Mishnah had said, Nezek v'chatzi Nezek. So the Mishnah had said that among the cases that you need a Beis Din of 3-4 are Nezek and Chatzi Nezek. The question is, Nezek and Chavolos. The Mishnah had previously mentioned Dinim Mamonis, and then I mentioned Gzeilos v'chavolos, cases of robbery and cases of injury. Nezek and Chatzi Nezek are among the types of injury. Well, in particular, Rashi says what it is when we say chavolos, it means the five different types of things that a person would have to pay. Nezek, tzar, rib, rishevet, and bershet. Right. Nezek is one of them. And nezek implies also, therefore, chati nezek. The answer is mishum de kabor, the mishum of chati nezek, taninami nezek shalom. Yes, but the Mishnah wanted to list chati nezek separately for reasons that we'll talk about in a second, and therefore, once it's mentioning chati nezek, so already it has to mention nezek, regular nezek as well, even though it's true, it could be included in chavolos. Nezek can be included in chavolos, but chati nezek can't. At least one possibility is it can't, as we shall see, and therefore the Mishnah had to list that separately, and once it lists that separately, it lists nezek separately too. Well, so the question is, chati nezek nami hain chavolos, isn't chati nezek also included in chavolos, because chavolos would include any cases where, for example, where shur injures, and if a shur is tam and it injures, it's only pays chati nezek, so that's another type of chavolos. The answer is, tonim mamoina v'tonik knosa. Yes, but the Mishnah wants to differentiate between things that are mamon, things where you're paying the actual value of the damage, versus where you're paying knas, which is, as the Gemara is going to define in a minute, the definition of knas is where you're paying something other than the actual value of the loss.
That's
chati nezek is an example of that, because you're paying less, you're only paying half.
But it can be either.
So that would be a knas. That would be a knas, and therefore the Mishnah therefore can't be included in chavolos, which implies where you're paying for the actual, for example, chavolos would be you're paying for the actual reduction in value of the person, as if he were to be sold as a slave, you're paying for his actual medical bills, you're paying for his actual time off work, etc., as opposed to chati nezek is a different category. Well, the question is, fine, that works out well according to the opinion that we learned back in Baba Kama, that one way of looking at it is chati nezek is in fact a knas. That really, in principle, you shouldn't be chayev as long as the shur is a tam, because you couldn't have known that it's going to be dangerous. Therefore, in reality, in principle, you ought to be completely potter. But the Torah imposes on you chati nezek as a knas.
Therefore, you could say,
fine, then chati nezek is a knas. El amanda amapalganizka mamoina, but according to the opinion that chati nezek is mamoin, which takes it the other way around. That you could argue that in theory, you should have to pay full nezek, even for a shur tam, because any shur is it could be prone to goring. But the Torah has pagan nizka mamoina or pagan nizka knasa. How do we look at it? Do we look at that in theory he shouldn't be chayev at all, but the Torah imposed the penalty on him, so that he'll take care of his ox in the future? Or is it that in principle, in theory, he ought to be paying full nezek, but the Torah has rachmanis on him because after all, he didn't know that this particular ox is dangerous yet. In that case, if we go with the second way at it, then it's mamon. Essentially, you should have to be paying the whole thing. The Torah is being mazel on you and making you pay only half, but it's still mamon. It's not knas. So therefore, according to that, then why is it different? The chavolos. No, it's either mamon or knas, we're saying. If you were supposed to pay the whole thing and the Torah is giving you a break and making you pay only half, then that's mamon. The whole thing would be mamon and half of it is also mamon. No, so you can't answer like that. The answer is Ella. I need to kabbalah the listing tashlumi kefil, but tashlumi abava hamisha. Since the Mishnah wants to continue by listing other things where you need a Beis Din of 3 to judge them, namely tashlumi kefil, when a person steals and he has to pay back double, or abava hamisha if he shechts or sells the animals, we learn back in Baba Kama at great length, and those kinds of things, the moment she'ena mishtalim b'roshu. Those are the kind of things where it's not the moment that's being paid is not the equivalent amount to what you stole. The roshu would mean the actual amount. This is she'ena mishtalim b'roshu. You're paying more than that. You're paying double. You're paying four or five. Since it has to mention that, tonanami chati nezek. So therefore, the Mishnah also mentions chati nezek, which is an example of the same kind of thing. The moment she'ena mishtalim b'roshu, because that's also you're not paying the actual amount. The actual halacha is that palganizka is knasa. The actual halacha is it's a knas, and therefore the definition of knas and halacha comes out whenever you're not paying the exact amount that was taken away or injured or what have you, then that would be a knas. Other examples are where the Torah gives a fixed amount, for example, 30 shloim if a shur kills an eved, 50 shloim for an ones, 100 for a mepaseh, etc.
Shani
mishan gadosh, that's not, you're not paying the actual amount. So therefore, tananami chati nezik, the Mishnah also mentions chati nezik, that's also a case where you're not paying the exact amount, because even if you argue, fine, you want to argue that's mamon, you want to argue that in theory he should have been higher for the whole thing, but the Torah is giving a break and pay and making him pay only half. The fact is, he's not paying the actual amount of the damage. So in that sense, it's similar to Teshlum Akeva. But I did it for the Mishnah, Chati Nezek, and given that the Mishnah has to mention Chati Nezek, Tonanami Nezek, so it also mentions Nezek, even though it's true Nezek in and of itself wasn't necessary because that's definitely included in the Kabbalah. Now,
it could have,
the Mishnah could have left out Nezek, but once it's mentioned Chati Nezek, it makes sense to mention Nezek as well. Now, the question is Shloisha Manola. Fine, where do we see that for all of these things, you need three Dayanim? That you need three Dayanim. So we started talking about it yesterday. So the pasuk says on the Kim, now is where we're going to get into the meat of it. Where do we actually see from the word of the Kim that you need three? Like this, the Tanan Abba. The Nikra Balabai Selevitim, the Pasuk says in the case of a Shomer, where the Shadfinam is the case over there, where he's denying that he claims the thing was stolen or what have you, and the case comes to Beit Din. The Pasuk says, the Nikra Balabai Selevitim, the Balabayas comes close to Elikim, Harekan Echad, Elikim there means one dying and so forth. Abha Elikim Yavid Vashneim, the Pasuk continues, the next Pasuk continues that the matter comes to Abha Elikim until the Elikim, which again means Dayan. Harekan Shnayim, so now you have two. Ashod Yashiyu and Alekim, Harekan Shloisha, and then the pasuk finishes off that with whoever the Dayan, whoever the Dayan, whoever the Alekim determines to be in the wrong is the one who's going to have to pay. So that's three. So since it says Alekim three times, then we see three Dayan. Dibir Rav Yoshiyah. That's what Rav Yoshiyah says. Rav Yonasan Omar, Rav Yonasan Omar, Rav Yonasan says, no, that's not how you look. Rishon Tchila Nech. Because the first time it says Alekim, that's the first time, that's chila, that's the beginning of the description of it in the Torah. The ein doshin chila. And he says, you cannot, when you're trying to count the number of things, in the number of times that something is being mentioned in the pasuk, you can't use the first time. So why not? Rashi says, because you need it just to teach you the basic concept that you need mumchim. If it didn't say alakim, we said yesterday that alakim means mumchim. People are smicha ishmukim. If it didn't say alakim the first time, you wouldn't even know that you need mumchim. So you can't use it for double duty. You can't use it to teach you that you need mumchim as well as use it for number one out of the three. Tosfos explains it somewhat differently. That what it is that the indoshin chilas, because you need the first. You need the first the first time it's said just to teach you the basic concept. No, not even mumkin, just the basic fact that you need dayanim at all. Otherwise, you wouldn't even know that. So therefore, he said you can't douse in that one. You only have two elikims available. Ella, no, you work it like this. Ad elikim yavid vashneim. Fine, ignore the first one. The nikra balabayas and elikim, because that teaches us you need mumkin, or it just teaches us the basic fact that you need dayanim at all. Then, though, the next pasuk starts off by saying, Ad Elikim Yavud Vashneim, they bring the matter to Elikim, to the Beis Din. Harekan Echad, so that makes one. Asher Yashiyun Elikim, Harekan Shnayim. The end of that pasuk where it says, Asher Yashiyun Elikim, Yashiyun is plural. The one who the Elikim, plural, declare to be the Rosh. Harekan Shnayim. So that part itself implies two Dayan. That's not what I mean. Later on the Amud, we're going to talk about, at the end of the Amud, we're going to talk about that possible limud. No, here he's saying, never mind the plural. You just have, you have two times where it says Elikim. One, Ad Elikim Yavid Vashneim, at the end of the Pasuk, Asher Yashiyun Elikim. So that gives you two. Fine, but in based in Shokol, but as we learned in the Mishnah, you can't have an even number of Dayanim on a based in, because then you could deadlock. Automatically, then you have to assume that the pasuk means to tell you that you need a third. Harekan shlosha, then there you have. So you don't need the first elikim, he says, because the first is just the tzitzit tchiloi. That's the beginning of the discussion, and you can't use it to enumerate the number of elikim. You use it to, again according to Rashi. You're using it for to teach us mumchim, and according to Tosfos, just because you need something to tell us that you need dayanim in the first place. Yeah. The second one teaches us Elikim. The second one teaches us one Dayan. The third one teaches us two Dayanim. Fine, you would only have two Dayanim, but you can't have two Dayanim. Therefore, by definition, you're going to need them. Okay. question is name of a Doshin Chilas completely. In that case, should we say that in fact the machlokas between Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yoshia is on this point, whether Doshin Chilas, whether we are able to Darshan, whether we are able to Darshan, whether we're able to use the first time something is mentioned in a pasuk. Namely, Demar Sava Doshin Tchilas, Demar Sava Doshin Tchilas. It sounds like Rabbi Yoshia has no problem with Doshin Tchilas. He has no problem using the first time. He says it can do double duty. And Rabbi Yonasan is saying that not. Well, we would think that's machlokes. The problem with that is we find in other places in Shas where we find that Rabbi Yonasan also seems to accept this idea of Doshin Tchilas. No, that can't be it. What the Kula Alma Ein Doshin Tchilas?
Because
you see elsewhere that he holds back Ein Doshin Tchilas. So no, that can't be the reason. No. Lloyd, the Kula Alma Ein Doshin Tchilas. No. Both Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yoshio are going to say it's fine. Ein Doshin Tchilas, the first time it says it, we have to leave that out because we need it to teach us another din. What's the machlokas then? Amalach Rabbi Yoshio. However, Rabbi Yoshio can tell you, in Cain, if that's so, that you're not going to be using the first time Elikim to teach us the first Dayan, in Cain, name of Krova, Nikra Balabai Salah Shofet, then the Pasuk doesn't have to use the word Elikim at all. It could use the word Shofet, it could use the word the judge. My El Elikim. Instead, why does the Pasuk use the word Elikim? Shmami no Laminyon. No, that tells us both things. It tells us that you need mumchim, fine, but it also can serve as number one out of the three.
Otherwise
you could have said shayfet, yeah.
Why not four?
Why should you need four?
Because
one just teaches you the concept, the word shayfet, but it doesn't say shayfet. It says alakim in all three places. Okay. Rabbi Yonasan, and Rabbi Yonasan would answer, now, obviously then that assumes that we would say that the word shofet by itself means mumchim. That's not so simple. I mean, on the face of it, shofet shofet in and of itself doesn't necessarily have to mean a mumchim. But we could do that, not necessarily. Shofet could mean kind of an ad hoc shofet or something. It does. I mean, there's definitely places in the Torah where shofet means a shofet who's actually, who knows the stuff. Joshua Shoftim Hatev, for example, when it talks in by din and partial. Tosfos says that's the word. In other words, that you could have used the word the word shofet in and of itself could mean you don't need the word alakim to teach us mumchim because you could have learned that from shofet. Nevertheless, though, we're still saying that Rabbi Yonasan is still saying ein doshin tchilas because just you need the word alakim to teach you that you need to teach you the details of what you need in a da'at.
Even if he doesn't need.
Tosfos asked the question, by the way, later on in the Sogya, we're going to have a number of cases where we use different words in the Pasuk and we count them up to get various dinim over there. We don't seem to be dealing with Doshin Tchilas. When we get there, we'll talk about it. Anyway. Rabbi Yonasan would answer, Lushna ba'al ta'alma nakat. No, the Pasuk uses the word alakim because the Pasuk is using the common language of people. K'damri inshi, like people say, mandi isle dina, likra v'gabe dayana. People say when a person has a court case, he should go to the dayan. The word alakim, the word shofet could mean an ad hoc shofet. The word alakim means somebody who is regularly doing it, a mumcha, somebody who is regularly sitting at the base din. So still, you could say that the word alakim is not to be used towards the count of three dayanim, and you can only get your third dayan by the fact that you can't have an even number base. The question is, but Rabbi Yoshia lets lay base din noita. Fine. Are you telling me then that Rabbi Yoshia does not hold of the concept that a base din always has to be an odd number? And because what is he saying? If the Torah had not told us three times alakim, you would think, if it only told us twice, for example, you would think you could have two dayan. Because that's what he's saying. You need all three alakim. But
one
doesn't
have to be mumchim, two has to be
mumchim. No. He's saying that one of them it could have said shofet, instead it says alakim, right. So therefore that teaches us number one, the second alakim is two, the third alakim is three. But why does he need that? Why shouldn't he agree with Rabbi Yonathan that all you need is two, and once you have two, automatically, you know you can't have a base din of two, and therefore it has to be three. Doesn't he hold that concept? Don't we learn in a braisa that Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yosi Aglieli, says, what does the pasuk mean when it says to incline, that after the majority you should incline? What does that mean? It means a total omra. It means after Rabbi Lahatos, we said initially, you go according to the majority. But the word lintos teaches us the Torah wants a selacha based in noite. That you should always make sure to have a base din where there's a possible majority, where there's able to be a majority. In other words, not an even number, because then there can be a tie. So therefore, and the pashtus, nobody disagrees with Rabbi Yezer on that. So yeah, the answer is there is somebody who disagrees. Sava like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yoshia can hold like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, Rama Shivin, where Rabbi Yehuda said about the base din Agadol, about the Sanhedrin Gadol, that it doesn't consist of 71 like the Tanakhama said. He holds it consisted of 70. So in other words, you can have an even number based. It's not, as we learned in our Mishnah.
What does he do when there's a deadlock?
Wait, what does he do when there's a deadlock? We'll get to it at the end of the parak. But he's not concerned about that possibility. It's not, and we learned in the Mishnah. Sanhedrin Dola Hoysa Shal Shivim Ve'achad. The Sanhedrin Dola consisted of 71 members. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Shivim. And Rabbi Yehuda says that it consisted of 70. So we see Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about a based in being an even number. So therefore, Rabbi Yoshia could hold like that. The problem with that is, Emud Shamathle, Rabbi Yehuda, the Sanhedrin Gdola, the Stevie Kroy. Fine, you only find Rabbi Yehuda saying such a thing when it comes to the Sanhedrin Gdola, because he has an explicit pasuk to that effect, where the Torah says, Esfuli Shivimish, Mizikne Yisrael, as it says in the pasuk. But not for other cases. B'shabe Dinami Shamathle, who says Rabbi Yehuda would hold of that concept with any other based din? By the way, the Mephoshim asked the question, so why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say the same thing? You know, why doesn't he hold that a base din always has to be an odd number? So if the Torah tells us 70, then it has to mean 71. And the answer that the Rishonim give is, you can only do that where you're learning it from a drasha. For example, where you're using it from the fact that the Torah uses a plural, and it means two, you're dashing it over here from the number of times it says alekim or whatever, then you can say, fine, ain't based in shakol, so you have to add another one. We're going to see Rabbi Yehuda himself uses that logic elsewhere also. When it comes to, though, the base din agadol, when the Torah explicitly uses the number 70, that's it. Only 70, he says. It means otherwise, otherwise the Torah would have left us to daushin it. The Torah would have in one place mentioned 71. Mechitema loishna, so you might answer, maybe not. Maybe Takir of Yehuda holds always that a base din can be an even number. He has no problem with that. And therefore, Rabbi Yoshia could be holding like that. And he'd say, therefore, if you only had twice alekim, you'd say two dayanim. Only because if there's three times alekim, you need three dayanim. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda would hold the same way. The answer is no. Because we learned also in our Mishnah, smichas skenim, we said the skenim rested, the skenim leaning their hands, we said in the Mishnah, means either on the par helam davash al tzibur before it's brought as carbon, or giving smicha to a person, or giving smicha to a person. Va'arifas egla, and the breaking of the egla rufa's neck, or actually the measuring to the nearest city. We said in the Mishnah, b'shloisha, those have to be done by three dayanim, divrei Rav Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda, and b'chamisha. We said in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says you need five, ve'amrinan, and we explain later on in our parak, we also had it way back in Yuvamas, my time is Rabbi Yehuda, what's Rabbi Yehuda's reason, where does he get the idea that for those things you need five? But he says, in the case of, we're only going to mention over here the one about smicha, but he has a similar limit as far as arifas egla. We won't deal with it here. We'll deal with it later on, Dr. Dalit. But by smicha skenim, when it talks about resting their hands, leaning their hands on the par helam davash al tzibur before it's brought to the carbon, the pasuk says the samchu zikner ed. So he dashes the samchu, they should rest their hands, implies shnayim, plural verb. Zikne also means shnayim. So therefore, you have two and two. The ain based in shokol, and again, and based in can't consist of only four members. It can't be an even number. Moisif and alein odecha. Therefore, you have to add another one. Harei kan hey. Therefore, you have five. Samchu is a plural verb. So therefore, that means two. Ziknei also is a plural noun. So it also means two. So therefore, he says you have two and two. It's four. But so where do you get the fifth one?
How can you say with samchu without ziknei?
You could say the Samchu Ha'eda, you don't have to say it. It says in the previous pasuk about the Zikne Ha'eda, the Ainia Ha'eda, the Zikne Ha'eda, whatever, bring the carbon, didn't have to repeat the word Zikne. So two and two is four, but where do you get the fifth one? Because Ain based in Shokol, because you can't have an even numbered base. So we see it. Yehuda holds that concept, except for the Sanhedrin Zola, since the Torah itself specifically says 70, there he makes the exception. So Rav Yoshi, in the Beis Sinagoga, we'll learn later on. Esfali Shiv Mishmi Zikne Yisrael, gathered me 70 people. So the Mishnah said, the Tanakhama said, Moshe Agabeim. Rabbi Yehuda holds that basically that Moshe is not Agabeim. Tosfos explains over here what it is. Tosfos explains what it is. Every Sanhedrin and Gola has what's called Muflosh of a Beis Din. We'll learn later on when we get to the topic of Zok and Mamre in the next to last parak. We'll talk about the idea of Muflosh of a Beis Din, like the head of the Beis Din. But Rabbi Yehuda holds, he doesn't count as one of the members of the Beis Din. He's
71.
So therefore you have, yeah. If you want to draw an analogy to it, Lahavdil, you consider, for example, you know, in the Senate, you have 100 senators, and then you have the vice president, you know, presides over it. He only, you know, he breaks ties, but other than that, he's not part of it. So Lahavdil over here, Rabbi Yehuda would hold the Muflosh of a Beis Din, is a similar concept. So anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda would say only in that case, because the Pasuk explicitly says Shivim, and that, by the way, answers your question. If there's a deadlock, then the Muflosh of a Beis Din would break it. But So Rabbi Yehuda evidently doesn't hold of that concept anywhere else. Otherwise, for example, he would say you only need four zkenim for smichas zkenim. The answer is no. Rabbi Yoshi adifa mid Rabbi Yehuda. Yes, what Rabbi Yoshi does is he takes Rabbi Yehuda's opinion and goes beyond it. To either Rabbi Yehuda or Sanhedrin Gdola who delesle, Habasha Beidina Islay, Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't hold of the concept of Ein Beis Din Shokol when it comes to the Beis Din Agadol, because of the Pasuk Eskeli Shirimish. But I do hold of it everywhere else. Rabbi Yoshi, that a regular Beis Din needs to be an odd number. Rabbi Yoshi goes beyond that. Rabbi Yoshi, Habasha Beidina Nami Lesle. Rabbi Yoshi would say, I don't hold of that concept that you need Beis Din Nota, that you need an odd number Beis Din in any case. Therefore, back to our thing over here. Any Beis Din. So therefore, if the Torah had only said the word Elikim twice, and we weren't going to be able to darshan Tchilot, so we weren't going to be able to darshan the first time Elikim, then we would tackle only have two, and a Beis Din could consist of two. Therefore, he has to hold, you have to be able to use the third Elikim as well. Because even though he holds, as we said before, and darshan Tchilot, he would hold, this is an exception because the Torah uses the word Elikim instead of it could have used the word Shavuot.
And he cannot.
So therefore, that's how we get three.
Right.
So the question is, well, high lintos my obviously. Fine. What does Rabbi Yoshia do with the lintos that we said before, that we learned from that a base didn't have to be an odd number? The answer is mukim lam dinin afasha. He would hold that that's true of dinin afasha. He agrees with our Mishnah, in other words, that you need 23 for dinin afasha. He would just disagree. He would disagree in dinin mamanus that you can't have an even number.
So what would you do? I mean, in a minute.
So then, if they did, okay. So if they did, so eventually, yeah, we vote, whatever. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So the question is, Elohov Tznat, Avu Dinim Mominus Loi. You're telling me he doesn't hold in Dinim Mominus that you can't have an even number. Elohov Tznat. What about this that we learn later on in the Masechta? In the case of Dinim Mominus, Shnayim Omrim Zakai VeEfad Mechayev Zakai. If two people say that the person is innocent, that is not liable, and one says he's chayev, then he's zakai, then he's not liable. Shnayim Omrim Chayev VeEfad Omrim Zakai Chayev. Name it the like Rav Yoshia. In that case, it sounds like that's not like Rav Yoshia. Because according to Rav Yoshia, it sounds like according to him, actually, what it is Rashi says, if he's saying that you have to learn something, you're learning from the Pasuk because it says three times Elikim, it would mean you can only have a verdict only if all three Dayanim agree to it. You shouldn't be able to have a verdict of two against one. Because then you have two Elikim saying one way, one of them saying the other way, and that's no good. So name of the Likud of Yoshia. Are you going to say that that's not a point of Yoshia? That according to him, by Dini Mominus, it can only be a verdict if it's unanimous among the three Dayanim?
Why it shouldn't be good that we get two against one?
Because then you don't have all three Elikim saying what the fact is. You have two saying one way and one saying the other way.
But they're still saying something.
They're still saying something, and it's true. We don't even know. We're not supposed to even know which Dayan said what. The fact of the matter is, though, that two of the Dayanim, while they were deliberating and while they voted, said he's Chayev and one said he's Zakai, or vice versa. So according to him, Mela, according to Rav Yonasan, that you really only need two, and you only need the third one in order to break the deadlock. Fine. So you have two Adim, or you have two Dayanim, rather voting that way. You're good. But according to Rav Yoshia, that you all three Dayanim, it says explicitly in the Pasuk that you need them. Asher Yashir and Elikim, all of them have to convict him. Well, then it has to be all of them. So in that case, is that Mishnah not like it? The answer is after the Tamer of Yoshia, Maisi Lava Kava Chomer Vidinin Afashas. No, we're going to go back a little bit on what we said. Rav Yoshia does say that the Pasuk Lintos, from which we learn that a Beis Din has to be an odd number so that you don't have a tie, he says that only applies to Dinin Afashas. What about Dinim Mominus? He says, I agree the same concept applies by Dinim Mominus, but you don't learn it from the word Lintos. Rather, you learn it by a Kavachomer from Dinin Afashas. From Kavachomer to Dinin Afashas. Or Ma Dinin Afashas to Hamiri, Ma Dach Dinin Afashas, which are more stringent. Amar Achmana Zil Bosa Ruba, and still the Torah tells us you follow the majority. Even though, in other words, so you have a Beis Din of 23 by Dinin Afashas, only 13 of them, let's say, voted to convict him, 10 of them voted to exonerate him, and you still put him to death. You go according to the majority. Dinim Mominus, like Kol Shekein, so how much more so in Dinim Mominus that you should be able to go according to the majority? You don't need a pasuk to tell us that because we can learn it by a Kavah Chomer.
Being that it's more chomer
in Dinim Mominus. It's more chomer. Now, they ask the question, all those. No, a bunch of the Rishonim actually asked the question. A bunch of the Rishonim asked the question, what about Dial of Omen Adin, the Sinodin? If you're going to make a Kavah Chomer, the result of the Kavah Chomer can't be stronger than what we're coming from. By the original one, you still need at least fine. You know, we said in the Mishnah, you have Eda Shetetet, Eda Maselis, you have 10 on each side, and then you have the extra one to be able to convict him.
So
but you're telling.
No.
They're not. The point is that at least you have fine. You have much more than three Dayanim over there convicting him. You have to have at least 12 or 13 Dayanim convicting him in order to be able to execute him. How are you learning from over here that you should be able to have two Dayanim saying that he's Chayev and already on that basis he's Chayev? Shouldn't you have to say the answer is because by dinim momenus there's never a chayva which is completely a chayva. It's always a chayva for one and a chutz for the other, zero sum game. As opposed to dinim afashas, a chayva for him is that's it. It's a chayva. There's no corresponding chutz.
The question is,
we're saying over here that Rav Yoshia would learn by a Kavah Chomer, madach and dinim afashas. You can go according to Rav. How much more so in dinim momenus? You should be able to go according to Rav.
Okay.
But the problem is, why should we say that that's enough? Why should we say therefore that it's enough with only two dayanim convicting him, with only two dayanim declaring him liable to pay or whatever? If over there you need
two out of three,
whereas over there you need thirteen out of twenty-three. And the answer is because it's not a total choyva. A choyva for one is a schuz for the other, as opposed to dinin afashas. A choyva, there's no countervailing schuz.
What's this so much more so? Meaning.
Meaning that if we go according to that by dinin afashas, you don't say that you need a unanimous verdict.
So why is so much more so
by dinin mominus, which are less stringent, which are much less stringent? For sure, you shouldn't need a unanimous.
So because kavu kavu, you don't need to be unanimous because dinin afashas. So machmer then
yes.
Mominus.
Yeah.
But then
we ask dayoi. We ask dayoi because then. Because
now
you say, still, by dinin afashas, you still need a whole bunch of dayanim. You still need 12 or 13 or whatever.
12 people together.
Yeah, and here you only need two.
Right, so that's more machmir.
So the point is, how are you learning dinin mominus by a Kavah Chomer, and then saying, as a result of that, you only need two, wherever there you need 12. You should say instead, you need 12 or 13 dayanim or whatever, fine. And the answer is because here it's a chus and a chayva, counterbalance of each other. We learn in a brach. Dinim mominus b'shloisha. We learn, as we said in the Mishnah, dinim mominus have to be judged by three dayanim. Rebbe omer b'chamisha. Rebbe says it needs five dayanim. Kedei sheyigamer hadin b'shloisha. In order that the din will be finished off by three. Question, what does that mean? Also b'tvasa mila gamer dina. And if you have three, you don't have a final decision. What does that mean? Mila gamer dina b'tzrei. What does that mean? If you have three, you have a final decision of two. Now, halachikamim, but neisha gemar din b'shloisha. Rebbe says because the gemar din has to be by three. In other words, this idea that we just mentioned in connection with Rabbi Yoshua and rejected the idea that we would think that you need because the pasuk says three times alekim, therefore you need all three dayanim to agree. And we said that no, he doesn't hold of that. He holds that you can go according to the majority based on his Kavah Chomer. Rebbe does hold. Rebbe holds the final verdict has to be by three dayanim because it says three times alekim. Or actually, not really because of that. We're going to learn at the end of the Amud, we're going to learn a different way why he learns his five. But for the moment, this is what we're assuming. We're assuming that it's because he wants the verdict to be the decision of three dayanim. Well, therefore, you need three against two. So therefore, you need five. Talma Kasava Tlosik Yiksiv Rigmajin Yiksiv. Evidently, then, Rebbe holds that when the Pasuk says three times, and it's a three times of a king, it means the Gemar Din has to be done by three. There has to be three Dayanim who vote to penalize the guy or whatever, to make him have to pay. Well, then you need three for a majority. So, yeah, if three is going to be the majority, it means you need five. Megadif bo Rav Abahu. Rav Abahu megadif. Megadif literally means like he cursed or blasphemed or whatever it is. It's an expression he uses in a few places in Shaft that the Tosfos points out, I think at the beginning of Ksuvos, that a number of the Amoraim have like their own unique lashon. Like Rav Achoi, whenever he comes up in the Gemara, very rarely, it's always Porech Rav Achoi. That's the standard lashon. So by Rav Abahu, it's megadif. Like he slogs it up. Megadif would. So actually, the Gaonim have an interesting explanation of it, which is Megadif over here is not like Megadif, like the kind we're going to learn later on in the sector. It means that Megadif, they understand it as meaning like wiping clean. Like he made a motion with his hand like this, like the kind of motion you make when you're wiping a plate clean.
Got it?
He said, they say that's what Megadif wrote out of a bowl. Like he made a motion like that, like the head of the star. It doesn't begin.
Like we do now.
Yeah, kind of. So Megadif Bar Rav Abahu, Elamayata, by that logic, if you're going to use that logic that we're saying that because the Torah says three Elikim, therefore you need three Dayanim to arrive at the verdict, okay, Sanhedrin Gerlich, through the Mayor Bavarim Bacha, by that logic, Sanhedrin Gerlich, you need 141 members. Today she Gomajin Beshivim Bacha. So that you'll have the majority when it comes to deciding the halacha will be 71. Okay, Sanhedrin Kana Tsucha Boim Bachamisha. And a Sanhedrin Kana should need 45. Today she Gomajin Beshloshav Askin. So that you'll have a Gemar Din by 23. Okay, Tosfos says technically it shouldn't need 23. Technically, maybe you'd need 45. Rather, technically, maybe you'd need 39. So that you have Eda Shekhetis, the Eda Matzelis, you have your majority of 20, as we said in the Mishnah, because the only reason we needed the extra 3 was in order to have a majority to convict, etc. Still, fine. Ella, no, what do you answer to that? Esfali Shivimi Shamarachmana. The Pasuk says, the Eda tells Moshe, gather to me 70 people, meaning Meshacha Sifa Chamishim. Meaning, at the time they're gathered, they have to be 70. It doesn't matter what they actually vote later on. As long as at the time they're convened, there are 70. Similarly, when the Pasuk says, which is the psukim that we brought in the Mishnah to show that you need 20 members of the Beis Din, then you need the extra 3 in order to convict. It means that at the time, when the Eder is sitting down to start judging, there needs to be enough over there for a Beshoftua Eder and for a Beitzilua Eder. Not that you need enough at the time of the Gemara Din, right? Hachinami, so the same thing over here. Nikra Balabais El Elikim. When the Pasuk says that the Balabais should come close El Elikim to the Dayanim, same thing. All it should mean is when they approach the Beis Din, there have to be 3 Dayanim sitting over there. It doesn't have to mean that the verdict has to be by 3 Dayanim. So that doesn't work. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that's based on Rav Abahu's question. Therefore, we see that's not that can't be why Rebbe is saying you need 5 Dayanim. Ella Heine time of the Rebbe. No, rather the reason behind Rebbe's din is as follows. The pasuk says, "Asher Yashiun Elikim." The pasuk says that the last Elikim over there says the one who the Elikim declared guilty is the one who has to pay the double amount. Yashiun is a plural verb. So therefore it implies that word Elikim implies 2 Dayanim. Nemer Elikim Lamatav and Nemer Elikim Lamaila. Now you have 3 times in the Pasuk that says Elikim, but again we said the first one Ein Doshin Chilus. We leave that one out because that one teaches us the basic concept that you need Malkim. So therefore you're left with 2. But it says, since it says Elikim at the beginning of the Pasuk and at the end of the Pasuk, we make a hekesh between them. Malam Mata Shnaim, Apamila Shnaim. Just the beginning of the Pasuk and the end of the Pasuk, never mind the first Elikim, Nikar Balabai Elikim. We're leaving that one out. But the next pasuk, which continues, our kol drav pesha, etc. Adher elikim yovid varshneim. Our shev yashiun elikim yishalom shayim areu. Since the last elikim, because the verb with it is a plural verb, has to mean 2 dayanim. Therefore, the elikim earlier in the pasuk also has to mean 2 dayanim. So you have 2 plus 2. And again, the ein based in shakol. And as we said before, the body can't have an even number based in. You have to add another one. Harikam chamisha. So that's where he gets his 5 by analyzing the pasuk that way. Rabbanan, what would the Rabbanan answer to that? They would answer Yashiun Ksiv. Yes, but if you look in the Sefer Torah, the word Yashiun is not spelt with a vav before the langanun, where then it would have to be read as a plural. It's spelt without. It's pronounced with a kubut. Therefore, it's written in the Torah as if it could be pronounced Yarshi'on, which is Lashon Yachid. Yarshi'on, the one who the Dayan declares them guilty. The Nun would refer to the Baal Dinim, let's say you have more than one Baal Din involved over here who's declared guilty. But Yarshi'ah, he's the one who declares them guilty, so therefore you only have one Dayan there, one Dayan earlier in the pasuk, and the only way you're going to know your third Dayan again is either Yarshi'on is Lashon Yachid, yeah. So therefore, you have your two from before, and then you have to add a third to break the deadlock, or three because it says three times over here. So we have an interesting machloikus then here, a fundamental machloikus between Rebbe and the Rabban. The Rabbanon meaning Rabbi Yonasan and Rabbi Yoshia from before. And for that matter, the Rabbanon, the Tana of our Mishnah, who said that you need three. This concept is called, as we're going to see now in the Gemara, it's called, yeah, we've talked about it in the past, we talked about it last in Kiddushin, Yesh Eim L'Mikra versus Yesh Eim L'Masor. What is the primary thing? You have in some places, in many places in the Torah, you have a word spelt in a way in which would allow for a different pronunciation, but the way it's written in the Torah, Molay or Chaser, is called the Masoras. And then you have the way it's actually pronounced. When a person reads the Pasuk, that's called Mikra. Which one is the primary one?
So
Masoras is the way it's written. The Rebbe is going according to the pronunciation,
right,
where it's pronounced Yarshi'un, and therefore he says it means plural. Whereas the Rabbanon are going to the way, according to the way it's written in the Torah, and therefore it's written in a way that could be understood in a singular way. That's called Masoras.
The Rabbanon always go according to the Masoras?
Well, so now we're going to have a list of Tanoim who all hold that you go according to Mikra. So, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Rebbe, V'Rab Yehuda Ben Royet, or Beit Shammai, V'Rab Shimon, V'Rab Akiva, all these five Tanoim, Kulu Sibir Lohu Yesh'em L'Mikra. They all hold that the primary thing is the Mikra. They all hold the primary thing is the Mikra, the way the word is actually pronounced. The Nekudas that were given to us as Torah Shabbat Pes. We talked about, by the way, in Kedushin, the Rif in the first of his Shabbat discusses the interesting question, why do we say Yesh'em L'Mikra rather than Av? He said Vinyan Av, for example, why don't we say Yesh Av L'Mikra? He says, you use the word Av when it's something that you're using as a basis for learning other things from. Vinyan Av is you have one place the Torah says something, or two places, Vinyan Av Mikal Tavacha, Vinyan Av Mishnek Sovim, and you're deducing from it, you're deriving from it for other places in the Torah. Yesh Eim L'Mikra, Yesh Eim L'Masoras is talking about in this particular place. Not we're deducing from one din to another. In this particular place, does it say Yarshi'un or does it say Yarshi'on? In the other examples that we're going to have, is it something, how does it say? But all of them hold Yesh'em L'Mikra, the primary thing that we use for Drashas is Yesh'em, is Yesh'em L'Mikra. We go according to how it's pronounced.
But maybe it looks like
A. That's the thing, the Rif is saying, because you're not learning from it to anything else.
So why does, what's A?
A
is the mother.
A is the mother, yeah, as opposed to A, yeah.
The mother
for no, it says Yesh Eim. The Mikra is the aim. The Mikra is the primary thing. The same way as primary is up. Because you have to use something to mean primary. It means that you're going to use well, there's that. But the point is, we want to use a word for primary. We're going to use a word for a parent. A parent being the primary person in the family.
The mother of these words deals with inside of her, and the father
deals
with
I mean, by the way, there are other explanations as well. Mikra over here is Torah Shabbat Peh. Torah Shabbat Peh in many places, as you can find in many places in Siddur, Torah Shabbat Sav is compared to the Zohar. Torah Shabbat Peh is compared to the Nekeva. So therefore, that's another reason why you say Yesh Eim L'Mikra. Yeah. Okay. Tosfos, by the way, points out even Rebbe will agree in some cases that you do go according to the Masoras, that you go according to how it's written, where you have a different indication elsewhere in a process that you have to go according to that. Tosfos brings an example from the famous thing of Kofni and Pinchas, the sons of Eli HaKoyen, where the Gemara discusses over there that only Kofni was guilty of the Averis, it says over there Pinchas was not. on the, partly on the basis of that there's a pasuk, again, there's a pasuk over there that says Yishkivun, but it's again written chaser. Mind you, in our Tanakh it's not. That's a different question, which we'll get into in a little bit. But there's also the fact that Gemara points out over there that Pinchas later on the pasuk mentions is Yichos, so obviously he couldn't have done such serious avedus. So in a case like that, Rebbe would agree, but ordinarily yes. So anyway, where do we see Rebbe Hodamara? So Rebbe, we just saw where he darshins based on the pronunciation Yarshi'un rather than the spelling Yarshi'on. Rebbe Huda ben Royet, where do we see Rebbe Huda ben Royet holds of this concept? The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Shalu Talmidim es Rebbe Huda ben Royet. Rebbe Huda ben Royet is Talmidim, one time asked him. Now, but the Pasuk tells us at the beginning of Parashas Tazria that when a woman gives birth, she's Tamei for a certain amount of time afterwards. A week, and it says for a boy it says shivat yomim, for a girl it says shvu'ayim. Now the way it's written in the Torah, shin veiz ayim yud mem, without nekudas, it could be read shivim. So maybe it means she's coming for 70 days. So they asked him, ekrani shivim. How do we know not to read the? How do we know not to read the word shivim? They asked him. Maybe then the pasuk means that when a woman gives birth to an akeva, she's tummy for 70 days, not 14 days.
But yesh en l'mikra means you read it the way
yesh en l'mikra would mean that you go according to the way it's pronounced. So wait. So they asked him, how do you know that we don't darshin based on spelling shivim? On the one hand, so he answers them like this. The Torah tells us that a woman is Tomei after giving birth to a male, and then she's Toher for a certain period of time afterwards, Meitara, for 33 days. The Timei V'Tiyah Ben Akeva, and it also says she's Tomei and Toher after she gives birth to a girl. Mak T'Tiyah B'Zachar Ben Akeva Kiflayim, just like the Yemei Tahara are double for a girl as for a boy, there the Pasuk clearly says that for a boy the Yemei Tahara are 33 days, and for a girl they're 66 days. So the same thing, the Yemei Tumah has to be double for a girl as for a boy. So if it's 7 for a boy, and the Pasuk says that explicitly, then it has to be 14 for a girl. Well, Acha Sheyotsu, after then, so his Talmidim left, afterwards, after they left, Yotsu Machzer Achareim, he went and started looking around for them. Actually, you don't need that answer, I have a better answer. Amalahan, he says to them, Iyatim Skukim Lakach, actually, you don't need that answer. You don't need that answer. Shvu'ayim Karina. The nekudas of the word are shvu'ayim. That's how we read it in the Torah. The yeshem lemikra, and the mikra is the mikra. The way it's pronounced is the primary thing. So we don't darshin. So again, according to him, you don't darshin from the written form of the word. You darshin based on the pronunciation of it,
which is
yeshem lemikra. It's halacha l'mishmatina. Yeah, but the point is, so he's another one, just like Rebbe, with his Yarshiun versus Achachamim Yarshion, the same way he has his Shvu'ayim versus those who hold Yeshem l'masardis might hold Shivim, and they would have to use a different limud, such as this one about the proportion that he just said, to learn that it actually means 40. Bet Shammai, where do we see Bet Shammai holds of this concept? The Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah in Tzvachim, Bet Shammai, in all cases where blood of a korban has to be put on the mizbeach achitzin, an oila, shlomim, and asham, all of those, shenostim b'matana ach. Now, usually, all of those are supposed to be shtei matana shein abba, as we say every morning in Davidim. You go to one corner of the mizbeach, and you split the blood like this, so it goes in these directions. You go to the opposite corner, and you do like this, so it ends up two sprinklings, but it winds up on all four sides of the mizbeach. But they say, any such case, shenostim b'matana achas, if you only put one matana on the mizbeach, only one application of blood, kipper, then you were mechaper. The korban is kosher. Shenema v'dam z'vachacha yishafich, because the pasuk says the blood of your korban, because it says the blood of your korbanos should be spilled on the mizbeach, so implying just one spill is enough. Uvachatas shtei matanas. When it comes to a chatas, though, they say you need at least two apples. Chatas, we know, is applied differently. The kohen dips his finger in the basin, the mizrach of blood, and puts it individually on each of the corners. 1, 2, 3, 4. We say every morning in Ezra Mekomen, Olo Lakevish, Upon Olo Seivim, Olo Lakevish, Mizrachis, etc. So they say you need to do at least two of them by a chatas in order for it to be kosher. Or bistilolo, as opposed to other korbanos where you only need one. Whereas Vesilo says, even by a chatas, even if you only did one application of blood, but the evidence is And Rav Huna explains my time at the Beit Shammai. What is Beit Shammai's reason? Where do they get this concept that by chatos you need two applications at least? Like the pasuk mentions in connection with the in Parshat Vayikra, after it discusses the various basic types of korban, then it near the end of the parsha it talks about three types of chatos yochid. You have special kind of chatzos that are brought by the tzibur and by the kohen gadol and whatever. We're not getting into those. But then you have the pasuk then describes the chatzos of a king, shem nasi yasa, and then you have the two types of chatzos of a hedyot. So he can bring a seira, a female goat, or he can bring a kisva, a female sheep. Each one of them, the pasuk relists all the details. You shech the korban, you have to apply the blood to the corners of the mizbeach. And each time that it says the word karnos hamizbeach, it spells each time it says karnos. So karnos, karnos, karnos. And each of those three times, it says you have to apply it to the karnos of the mizbeach. Karnos is plural, so you have 2 times 3 is 6. Harei kanshesh. So you wind up with 6. What does that come to teach us? Avil mitzvah. It means you need 4 is the ideal way to do the mitzvah, applying it to all 4 corners. Or shayim la'akev, and it means if you only did it on 2, then that's the minimum amount. Any less than that, it's la'akev, and the korban is possible. Or b'silolay. I mean, where b'silolay says, you have to look at the spelling. Karnos, karnas, karnas, harei kan arba. They say yes, but 2 of the times that it says karnos, it's spelt without the vav. Therefore, it can be read as a singular, a karnas. So therefore, you have karnos, which makes 2. Karnas is another 1, so 3. Karnas again makes 4. Harei kan arba, so you only have 4. In which case, gimel lemitzvah ve'echa ba'akum. So they say what it means is 3 of them are ones that you should do. Those are the ideal mitzvah is that you do all 4 of them, including those 3. Ve'echa ba'akum, and 1 just means you have the 1 which is the bare minimum. So 1 which is the bare minimum, and 3 more that ideally you should be doing. We see that Batilo goes according to the spelling in the pasuk, Yeshem Lemesoros, and Beshama goes according to the pronunciation, Yeshem Lemitzvah. The Gemara just asks the Ema Kula Lemitzvah. Fine, maybe why shouldn't Batilo say it means that all 4 of them, all 4 of them mean that you need to do them for the mitzvah, but if you didn't do it, then b'dieved, it's okay. The answer is kapara b'chdi la'yashkafam, because you don't find there should be a kapara without nothing at all. There has to be something. There has to be some application of blood to the mizbeach. Ki adomu b'nefesh yichaper. So therefore, the only way they can learn it is to say you need 1 at the minimum, and then you have 3 more that should be done the mitzvah.
And the 3
that's what they're learning from karnoitz, karnas, karnas.
And the fourth one?
The fourth one, they say there's a bare minimum. You must have 1, because otherwise you didn't have kapara. Then on top of that, you have the other 3, which the pasuk is saying ideally you should be doing all.
You cannot say all kapara.
No, because that's what they're saying. That because you have 4 of them. No, so there's no reason to think that all 4 of them it needs kapara because then it doesn't need to repeat karnos each time, and then
maybe
you just say
kapara.
No, because then. No, so they would say once you have 1 time, even Beit Shammai is agreeing you don't need all 4 of them. So therefore, Beit Hillel is also saying we're not going to say you need all 4, but you do need at least 1. It is, but still, kapara is accomplished for the other by only 1 application.
1 out of 4.
1 out of 4, yeah.
Even if the major purpose of a kapara.
Yeah, doesn't matter.
3 out of 4 is not kapara.
Nevertheless, yeah. Now. First of all, a couple of things about this. First of all, Tosfos brought up the point before. What happened to Ein Darshin Tchilas? What happened to we said that you can't darsh the first time it says it because we need a gufoy or whatever. So one of the explanations.
We are
darshin Tchilas. We are using all 3 times and it's counting. So one of the answers is because we only do Ein Darshin Tchilas where you otherwise wouldn't know the number without the pasuk telling you. Over here, you know the mizbeach has 4 corners. When it describes the building of the mizbeach, it says it has 4 corners. So we know already it has 4. You don't need the pasuk the first time karnos to be telling us anything. There's a somewhat different answer also that some of the Rishonim give, that it didn't have to say karnos at all. Similar to what we said before, it could have instead of saying like him, it could have said shofet. Here also, somewhat similarly, instead of saying karnos, it could have said sovid. You have to do it all around. And we would understand it means on the crown, no, on the cross. Now, the other interesting point about this, though, is that if we look in our Chumashim, all 3 of those karnos in that part of Vayikra are all spelt chasid. They're all spelt without the vav. What are we doing with our drasha over here? So everybody breaks their heads over that, how to fight for that. So the O Toda from one of the Uli Achronim, that's an important sefer on the Masorah, the Gemara over here is saying one of the three of them is supposed to be spelled with a vav, and in our sefer Toda they're all spelled without a vav.
Why is one supposed to be spelled with
a vav? We're saying in our Gemara over here to be a plural, in order that even Betzillah should agree it's plural, because it has to go according to the way it's written. But in our sefer Toda they're all written chasid. So the O Toda wants to say, and maybe the Gemara is not referring to those psukim in connection with the Chatas Yachid, maybe it's referring to other places. There's other places where the Torah describes putting the blood of an Amakanus and his Beach, and one of them in connection with the Korbanus that Moshe brought for the Miluim. It says it Molei, but he says it's a docent. It is a docent. So the Minchas Shai, which is the afterwards became the standard sefer on the Masorah. He and a lot of other people say, yeah, the fact is, sometimes you find, this isn't the only place, sometimes you find the Masorah as the Gemara has it, or as the Midrashim have it, is different than our Masorah. It is, and it's Taka Shaila why it should be so, but nevertheless, them's the fact, and we go according to our Masorah. Even in a case like this, where it impinges on Halacha, still, the Masorah, as we transmitted to us, says that all of them are chaser. The Gemara had a different Masorah, fine, so be it. But nevertheless, we go according to the Masorah as it was transmitted to us, and therefore they're all written chaser.
More than the Gemara.
More than the Gemara, yeah.
I'm and waiting for Eliyahu.
To go back to at the top of the Amud, Tosfos mentioned that thing about Yishkivun or Yishkivan in connection with Bnei Eli. There you have the same thing. The Gemara says over there that Yishkivan, that's written without the vav. But if you look in a Sefer Shmuel, you'll find it's written with the vav. So it's the same kind of, there it's less of a problem because there's only a drasha, here it's actually a matter of halacha, but still, nevertheless, though, when the basic rule that pretty much everybody says is, yes, when you have, if you find an argument between the Masorah, as the Gemara says it, and the Masorah as we have it, you don't point to our Masorah, finished.
Our Masorah,
not the Gemara Masorah, yeah. Okay. So there's another case that Beth Shammai goes according to the pronunciation, therefore they say, never mind the spelling, all of them are pronounced Karnois, and therefore that gave us six, and they doubt what they doubt. Rav Shimon, where do we see Rav Shimon holds of this concept? Titania, we learn in a Braise in Sukkah. Shtayim kelchotem shlishis afilu tefach. When it comes to a Sukkah, you have to have two proper walls, two full walls, and then the third wall can be even a tefach, because we know the famous thing we all learn as kids, that a Sukkah can be shaped like a hay. Rav Shimon, I'm a shlosh kelchotem a revius afilu tefach. Whereas Rav Shimon says, no, you need at least three complete walls, and then the fourth one can be a tefach. So again, what's the machlokes? Rabbanan savri yeshem l'masoros, Rav Shimon savri yeshem l'mikra. Again, it's the same thing of yeshem l'mikra or l'masoros. The Rabbanan hold you go according to the masoros, according to the way it's spelled in the pasuk, and Rav Shimon says you go according to the way it's pronounced. Rabbanan savri yeshem l'masoros. Similar kind of thing to what we did with Karnos. Basukos. Again, three times in the psukim over there, it says that you have to sit in sukkos. Basukos teish v'shivat yamim kol azachis yo yeshu basukos. The man yedu derisechem ki basukos eshati yefnei
yisrael.
Two of them are spelt without a vav. One of them is spelt with a vav. And that, by the way, we do have that right in our Sefer Torah. Yeah.
The
Rabbanan say you go according to the spelling. So therefore, you have basukas means one. Basukas again means another one. Basukos, where it's spelled with a vav, and therefore it has to be pronounced as a plural, means two. One plus one plus two is four. How do they count out? They have four.
What's the one? The Rabbanan say you need
two full walls and one tefach. In other words, two full walls and one partial wall. So that's because, like this. Dal chad kralagufe. You have to take out one of these basukas in just because you need it to tell us the basic fact. It's similar to Doshim Tchilos, that you need to tell us the basic fact that you need to sit in the sukkah.
Okay.
Dal, take away. Dal means take away. Chad,
yeah.
We need to know that you need to sit in the sukkah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one probably. Yeah. Partial lahutzlah. So you're left with three. Asoi hilchasa, then comes the halacha meshmisinai, garasa the shlishis, and reduces the third one, vokim ta tefach, and tells us that it's good enough if it's only a tefach in size.
Okay.
You start off with four. Subtract one, because without that you wouldn't even know there's a concept of sitting in a sukkah.
I'm subtracting one word.
So you have now basukas and basukas. So that gives you three. Halacha.
Basukas gives me three.
Basukas is one, basukas gives you two. So one plus two.
Oh,
two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So then, what the halacha, the Moshe Mitzinai, comes and tells us that the third wall doesn't have to be a third wall. It's good enough if it's a partial wall.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dreh Rav Shimon Sava, whereas Rav Shimon, again, who doesn't like that idea, he holds of Yesh Eim L'Mikra. He says you have to go according to the pronunciation. So he holds Basukos, Basukos, Basukos. All of them are pronounced Basukos. None of them are pronounced Basukas. So two times three, Harei Kan Shesh. So you end up with six. You end up with six. No, you don't need six walls. Dal Chad Kro L'Gufa. Again, he says you subtract one to tell us that you need a sukkah at all.
So we're subtracting one, that's like subtracting two.
Yeah, subtracting one word, basukai. It means you're subtracting two. Partial to arba, you're left with four. Because any basukai that you take out, again, you're going across the pronunciation. You're taking out two, you're left with four.
So you have four.
Arba, hilchata, gadai, tibur, bias, oikmat, epah. And then Allah from Moshe Mitzvah comes and tells us that that the fourth wall does not have to be a complete wall, all it needs to be is a text.
I'm ready for
yes. And the truth is, the Gemara is just stopping at this point. The truth is, the Gemara in Sukkah, where this is originally brought, discusses this further and says there are other possibilities that maybe both Rav Shimon and the Chachamim do agree Yesh Eim L'Mikras, and they have a different understanding of it, or maybe both of them hold, maybe they're arguing on Gershon Tchilos. So you have the, when the Gemara is saying over here, when Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef is saying that all these five Tanoim all hold Yesh Eim Mikra, not necessarily is Rabbi Shimon in that category, but nevertheless, at least according to that first explanation of the Gemara over there, he does.